Amen.
Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's such a wonderful opportunity to have you see you. Lord, how we love you. How we appreciate you. You're just so wonderful in all that you do. And the way you do it, Lord, it's just so grand. And we just ask tonight that you would help us to worship you, Spirit of the truth.
Yes,
Lord, that our hearts and lives would be dedicated to you. Father, our love would just pour out from the inside.
Amen.
Oh, God, from a real deep down inside.
Yes,
we would assure appreciation and glorify you. That's what it's all about, Lord. Yes. Glorify you about the way that you are. Ask that you would bless us and help us to do so. All without you, we can do nothing. Father, we just ask that you bless us. We ask that your glory and your honor and your praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's just sing a little chorus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
love you with all my heart.
I love you with all my heart.
Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
That I'd be a better servant to you.
I'd be a better servant to you.
Lord, you will help me to surrender my complete life to thee. That you can use me to glorify your holy name.
Glorify your holy name.
Oh, I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
How great thou art.
How great thou art.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, free
to be a sanctuary.
Try as we thank you for thy mercy and thy grace. Lord, for we're so undeserving, Lord, of what you give us. Lord, by the precious word you've given to us in this hour, Lord, the precious revelation you've given us, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for all thy blessings and all thy goodness to us. We just want to take a moment and say thank you so much, Lord. Just give you all the glory. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, Lord, each one that has a request from my heart, Lord, know it is.
Yes.
Lord, know it is before anybody ever says it. We just bring it to me and ask that you bless it accordingly. Lord, may you receive the glory and the honor from it. Lord, may we testify to me of thy goodness.
Amen.
Lord, what you have done. We just ask that once more to have your preeminence, Lord, at the end of the service. May all that's said and done be for thy glory. We ask it in thy precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's sing the little chorus to Brother Timothy. Comes up this evening to deliver the message. Is your heart hungry?
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Let's sing a little
Amen.
Chorus. I love him.
Presence, and Lord, to know that you're ever mindful of us. And Lord, we've gathered tonight, Lord, just asking you to speak to us. And Lord, through these precious words, may you speak to each of our hearts, Lord, in maybe a little special way. Lord, that each one of us would, as our brother has already said, Lord, press the fight harder, Lord.
Amen.
Press that much farther on, Lord, to achieve what you wanted us to be in this hour. For Lord, we see the closing of time and we see the sun setting, so to speak, Lord. And Lord, we want to be exactly what you want us to be and right where we should be for this hour and day. Lord, that you would receive the glory and the honor from our lives. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word and upon our hearts. And we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all things. Amen. Hallelujah. He's so sweet. Amen. Don't you love him?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank him for another opportunity that we've had together. Just some things on my heart, just reading and thinking about. Just thought we'd share them. Amen. And we'll just read the word and some things our prophet said and just let God speak to our hearts tonight.
Amen.
But let's turn here. While you're still standing, I'm going to turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Everything I'm going to read is very familiar, but you know, we're a people that have heard a lot of word mentally. And if we'd get in the right condition and get in the right spirit and give God an opportunity and just dwell upon the things that we have heard, how much greater God maybe can deal with our hearts on things, you know? Sometimes that's a problem for all of us. And I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself tonight. We're here as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're here to look into the Word.
Amen.
Each one of us from different times is, you know, we look around and maybe I fell over here and made a mistake and you're over here and you've made a mistake, but The thing is, saints, we're living in an age where it's coming down to he's looking for that life.
Amen.
And we've got to be certain in our minds and hearts where our goal lies. And make sure what we're seeking in this life and out of this life and what we're truly here for. But here in Matthew 16th chapter, and just beginning here, it's the 24th verse, very familiar. And then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if shall he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? May the Lord add the blessing of reading his word, and you may be seated. Just thinking about this and our purpose of being here, are we truly denying ourselves, and have we truly decided to follow him no matter what? You know, we've all been raised in church, and we've all been raised around a message, so to speak. In all of our lives, we've come to church, most of us. Not all of us here, I can truly say. All of our life, we've been coming to church pretty much. Maybe some of you older ones did when you was younger. But now we're coming down to the time that all the things these scriptures has told about and all the things that's been written in this precious word that the Lord gave to our prophet to bring to us, it's now time for that to become a full living manifestation in our hearts and lives. I'm going to turn to John, the 15th chapter, if you want to turn over there. Amen. Just couldn't seem to find an opening scripture, and the Lord laid these on my heart, so we'll just read them. Amen. Thank you, Lord. John 15th chapter, and begin there at the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and make it bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if ye abide in me, and my words abide in me, you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. And tonight, saints, that's what we've come to the point of. It's time to bear fruit unto righteousness and unto a reflection. And that's kind of where we're at tonight. We are the reflection of our Heavenly Father. That's our purpose in being here. And each one of us can sit here tonight and look at our lives. And as I said, we've heard lots of word. And we can take each individual piece that would pertain to me. And I can say, am I seeing that reflected in me? Am I bearing the reflection of this precious word? But I just was here in the message. This is in the message identification. Preached January 23rd, 1963. He says, paragraph 243, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, let him deny his man-made creed and pick up his Bible and follow me. That's right. And then when you're identified somewhere in the scripture, no doubt I'll have to close. You're identified somewhere in the scripture. You know that. Each one of us, we see our identification. And we truly find ourselves in the scriptures, which one way or the other, saints, if I'm lacking, I find myself in the scriptures. And it tells me where I'm standing. If I find myself up here in the scriptures, then that's where I'm standing. But the scriptures is truly showing me where I'm standing. And each one of us tonight, as our brother, just as we was worshiping, we can each one ask ourselves, do I truly see that reflection in me, that this is my one desire, my one burning in life? This means more to me than anything in life. I don't care what the world's got to offer. I don't care what the world brings. My goal, my purpose in life, I truly see, is to live for Jesus Christ and him to be the reflection in my life. No matter what my family feels about it, what my friends feel about it, my associates on the job, but I was sent here to be a reflection of him in this day, that he could fully reflect his life in my heart and life. And have, and as I said, we've grew up in church, and we've always come to church. On Sundays, we've always made sure we was in a pew. On Thursday nights, we're always here. We're always where the Word's at. But is the Word truly getting a hold of me, or am I still in a ritual, or do I still just come? Maybe I'm a young person, and I'm coming to church, and I don't see what the attraction is. Maybe something just don't strike me right. Something don't fill me, but there is an attraction, and there is a reality.
Amen.
And because maybe you don't see it in this one or that one, there is a reality that can be for you. God is calling someone to be a reflection in this hour. There was 2 million came out of Egypt, but only 2 made the promised land. And we sat here maybe 40 people strong, but there may only be 1 person in here that's going to make that promised land. And it might be one of you young people. It might be me. But no matter, our desire should be, we should be so focused that I'm going to be that one that's going to make that.
Yes.
And we're living in such an age where Satan is, by deception, is more deceptive than he's ever been. And he's bringing it in. You know, we look at the days gone past, to the martyrs and the mighty things that happened in Israel. But this is such an age where the flesh is not truly suffering anymore. But it's become the battle of the mind, where Satan and God is met truly. And now it's come down. Satan knows that we have been fortified with the Word, and to try to get us to step across the line and say that's wrong, we don't agree with that Word, those days are gone.
Amen.
But now it's come down to those little foxes, where if he can get us to let go, or let's forget about that, this isn't important, this is okay, this is all right. And that's what's happened in all of the message churches we can look through the land. It took one person trimming their hair, one person trimmed their hair, and then the whole bunch followed suit. One woman put on a pair of pants, and the whole world took off and followed that suit. You can look at it happen, and it happened by one, and then it was two, and then the majority. But God's not in the majority, he's in the minority. And how we need to buckle down. No, many maybe in this message are saying it's okay for this, that's okay. Maybe this word, well, there's nothing wrong with that, but what's God telling you? This is an individual affair. God's looking for somebody that can be a Stephen, that can be a Timothy, that they can set on fire. Like he did in those days, where it was a burning pulsation in their heart, that when people come in contact with them, there was a reaction to it. It wasn't just someone that was floating along saying, I'm a Christian. My saints, I just look back at our examples that we have set before us. He goes on here, he says, when you're identified somewhere in the scripture, no doubt. Each one of us, we see our identification. Church, we're going here to a... He drops on down. He says, will we identify ourselves with a new haircut? We will identify ourselves with how fancy we dress. Will we identify ourselves with how popular we can stand and speak? How much education we got? When Paul said the things, he had to forget them in order to know Christ. Are we identifying Pentecost? Are we? What are we? Where we find ourselves reflecting? What are we reflecting? Anyhow, if we could just make a lot of noise, we can shout and play, jump up and down. Oh, I've seen Muhammadans do that. I've seen monkeys do that. No remarks. I don't mean that joking. This is no place for a joke. This is the Word of God. But I have seen animals jump, play rabbits. That don't mean nothing. Certainly not. You're happy. Anything can make you happy. Any little upside. I've seen sinners so drunk and so happy. Certainly that don't mean a thing. But where is that happenings come from? What's the resource? What does it react upon you, and what does it reflect? Someone will deny God's word, and someone will live in the world. Someone will hear the truth and walk away from it, sell their birthrights out for something else. But oh God, help us as brothers and sisters, to help us to get back and let Christ reflect himself too in us like that. May God help us to be identified in him so much that his word and his presence can flow through us to manifest himself to the world. Amen, for which we're going to face. And that's the ultimate, saints, that we should have in our hearts and in our lives.
Amen.
And as I wrote it down there, we must remember there's only 2 spirits at work in the world today.
Amen.
And if we would stop and consider the things that we start to do each time and weigh it out, there's only 2 spirits.
Amen.
Which spirit would do this, and which spirit would be over there or here?
Amen.
And if we would weigh it on that side, we would see. Because when you stop to think of how much that's on this earth is going to be in my heavenly home, very little. Nature that you see, the trees, the things that God's created, you're going to see. But all this other's going to burn and pass away and flow and be gone. But oh my, how much we borrow things here. We must use things here in life. But oh my, where is my goal? Do I see I need to get this so I can have this better in life, and that's all I'm concerned about? Or I want this over here so it's more pleasing to me, makes my life easier. I enjoy this a great deal, and that's what I want to do. And I want to be here, and I want to do that. Or do I truly, have I centered in that Jesus Christ is all that matters? You know, as you look around and you see as the accident happened on 93, how quick life comes to an abrupt halt and done. And how, what's it mount to while we're here? How quickly it's all finished. And what was my identification while I was here? And look what's beyond if my identification lines up in this precious word. And saints, I'm talking about it every word. We've heard lots of things that we've heard from how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a parent, how to, all of this word, these scriptures, the many things, how we should serve Christ, how we should worship in the Spirit, all the many things we've heard. Amen. If I let one slip, just one, is one thing sliding in my life? If I let down somewhere, am I not praying like I should? Am I not praying with my kids? Am I not praying for my children? Am I just letting go? Am I not? We're serve God, but that's the only time that our families ever see Christianity is when we come to church. Maybe we pray over a meal, but is that where it stops? What do they see in us? These individuals, what do they see in us? Amen. Where's that reflection of Jesus Christ? Where they had to get to Him. They wanted to be near Him. They wanted to be in their presence. They didn't agree with Him on a lot of things, but they wanted to be there. They wanted to feel Him close in their midst. And oh my, how the Spirit, we should feel that draw. People should just want to get as close as they can to you just to feel that Spirit on you. Amen. And many do. You see it happen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. This is in the... Amen. This is in the message. Shalom. Preached in January 12, 1964. Just listen to what he's saying here. He says, but really, frankly, we have never seen each other. This is paragraph 6. Did you know that? We have never seen one another. You hear something speaking out of a body here that impersonates whatever's on the inside. So then we talk to each other. We're really not talking to the body. It's the Spirit inside. But the body is the thing that identifies the Spirit that's on the inside. And therefore, when we speak to each other, we can quickly understand right away whether we're Christians or not, because there's a fellowship in the Spirit that we can talk from. You see that it vibrates to one another, that whether we are Christians or not, therefore we have never seen each other. Jesus said, no man can see God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared Him. See, in other words, God was identified, the person of God was identified in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the expressed image of God, or God expressing Himself through an image, see, through an image. Man, God expressed Himself to us, and He was God, not a third person of a second person. He was the person of God. He was God Himself, identifying Himself so we could feel Him. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, that's the argument. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest or made known in the flesh. Isn't that wonderful? God, and we could never understand God as He moved through a pillar of fire and so forth, as He did, but we understood Him when He became one of us, see? When He became a man, then He could talk to us, and we could feel Him and handle Him and touch Him and everything. Amen. And as the Scripture plainly says, that we have handled God, see, with our hands, touched Him with our hands. God is in man, and He is identifying Himself today in His church. In that born-again Christian, God identifies Himself, that He remains God. And the outside world will only know God as they see God in you and I. And the only way they'll know God is when we are written epistles of the Scripture. And we are read of all men, and the life that we live reflects what's on the inside of us. A man is identified by the works that he does. So our work should be good, see, always good, because we're representing our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that goes for any phase of our life. Yes. We should be able to line up with that. And this is the things. Can I read that tonight and find myself lacking somewhere? Is there something missing? Then I need a closer walk with God. It doesn't matter if the pastor is not up here pointing it out, but we know. The Holy Spirit searches the reins, and He knows our hearts, and He knows where we live. And this word, He knows how to check our hearts without anyone else ever really knowing the situation. But He knows them all. And He weighs us. And we find ourselves weighed in the balance. Where do we stand? Do we see that reflection? And then do I really feel that in my heart to press on and push with all that's in me to be what he wants me to be. For without him, I can do nothing. You can do nothing. And we need him so greatly in our lives. But you know, as I said, we've come to church a long time, but have we reached a place where we realize church is not enough? We need him in our hearts and in our lives. It's not how much I can hear out of here, but it's how much that author that wrote that can come inside of me and reveal it to me and truly bring it down on the inside and make it a manifestation back on the outside to express Christ to this world. This is in the Message Influence. It was preached January 12, 1963. And he says, now that's serious. He was talking about denominations. He says here, middle paragraphs, as Brother William said, 15. But God can do more with 15 in his hand than he could with 1,500 out of his hand, see? But we appreciate the 1,500 in his hand instead of 15 in his hand. If they'll all stay in his hand, that's the main thing, being influenced, not by what great numbers we are, but by what great God that we're representing and the kind of life that is in us by him that will influence others. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But, and our brother mentioned this, the salt has lost its savor. It's henceforth good for nothing. Cast out, trod under feet of men. And we must never forget that. We are salt. But if the salt loses its strength and its power to contact, and salt can only save as it contacts. And if it loses its power of contact, then it's no more salt, but it's sand and it's made to walk. And when we lose our influence as a father or as a mother or as a Christian, as a businessman or a minister, when we lose our influence with people, now we can be very popular in the line of the world and go along with the world, but I mean, as we represent Christ. And when we lose our influence as that, what do we have? And that, saints, has come down to it in everything we do. My business transactions, the way I handle things, the way I'm, is it Christ? Do I maybe slide in an extra nickel somewhere that I should have just given away? Do I slide the pencil a little farther this way? And I should have just used the eraser on the other end. But that's just the things, each one of us, as we do things. You know, so many times, and we see it all through the world. That's why a lot of people say, I hate to buy a car. Because you go to buy a nice used car off somebody, and you never know what they've done to it. You don't have that trust. And how we should be a people that if I had something for sale, it should be the ultimate trust of a person to buy that from me, knowing that I was as honest with them as I could be. And that's something you gain. That's not something that just happens because you go to a church. I know many people that claim to be Christians. They wear dresses, and people won't trust them no farther than they can throw them because they've got a bad reputation, and they're not honest. But that's a reflection. That's an influence upon them. And I'm not worried. We should be worried about our reflection upon this church as a building and a group, as our brother mentioned. We should be. We should concern ourselves with that. But I'm more concerned about my reflection upon Jesus Christ. And that reflection that, as I said, I'm a Christian. As my individual, that's me. That's who people see. And I'm the one that's going to give an answer for what my life is. But we'll give an answer for the reproach we bring upon God in any way. But how we ought to take it so considerate and careful of what we do in everything of our lives. As he says here, let me move over here. Amen. This is in the Message. Let me read this one first. This is in the Message. We have seen his star and come to worship him. Amen. But saints, we are God is a light. And I just like it here as he says this in the page 2. Paragraph 5. I think that the light shines best in darkness. The darker it is, the better the light shines. Sometimes just a small light. Where there's much light, it's not noticed. But the darker it gets, that small light will shine much stronger. And remember that there's no darkness can exist in the presence of light. Light is so much more powerful than darkness. And until it cannot stand in its presence, darkness cannot stand when the sun starts to shine because the sun is so much greater. The sunlight, that it just presses the darkness out and it's no more. And this dark world someday is going to turn to all light when Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shall come again. And then we'll have no more darkness. Until that time, just as we look out at nighttime and see the moon shining, the moon and sun is husband and wife, as to say. And in the absence of the sun, the moon reflects the light of the sun to the earth, giving it lesser light. that we can see to get around by the moonlight until the sun rises. And then the sun and moon become one. The same sunlight and moonlight is all the same. And that's what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should be, reflecting the light of Him while He is absent from the earth in a physical body. The church should be the reflection of Jesus Christ in these dark hours. Amen. And oh my, how it ought to burn in our hearts to be that reflection. Amen. Greater than we ever have. And maybe lose our ideas sometimes that we've had of, oh, I go to church, I believe all the word, that's wonderful. And it's wonderful to say amen to every word, but where is our lives at? That's the things that matter. Yes. All the way down to every aspect. That's the thing that is reflecting Him. Coming to church don't reflect Him. Look how many people go to church, and can you find God in their life anyplace else? No, you can't. But it's come down to a reflection of everything we do should be a reflection of Him. Amen. A total reflection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is in the message, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You sisters can come to the instrument if you would. I won't hold you too much longer. As he says here, this is, he's using a type, but I want to read this. As he says here, paragraph 163, page 23. Now look, as it was in the days of Sodom, that's when the Gentiles were burned up. And Noah, he mentioned Noah, that was the morals of the people. They went in, but notice the Gentiles, just before the fire fell to destroy the Gentiles, the Sodomites and Gomorrah and all the cities around. Notice Abraham, a type of the church free, the spiritual church, and Lot, a type of the church in lukewarm in Babylon. In Babylon today, but in Sodom then the Sodomites and the unbelievers. There's always three classes. And God is perfected in threes, like Father, Son, Holy Spirit makes one God, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost makes one birth, water, blood, and spirit makes one birth. And so forth, see, it's all perfect, and we haven't time to go through the numbers, but we're His coming will be in and so forth, what number, but we're in it. And notice, as we study, we find out who this Jesus at the time of the days of Noah and Lot. Now Abraham was waiting for a promised son, and so are we. The church called out, representing the born-again people that separated themselves from the world. They're not in Sodom. They're called out and set aside and holding a promise of a coming son. And I pray we find ourselves in that category tonight. And now one day while Abraham was sitting in that barren land and Lot living with his great, he must have been a mayor of a city and a judge and become a great man. And Miss Lot was bobbing her hair and doing anything she wanted to do. And I guess down there with the rest of the Sodomites, but not Sarah. I just had to put that in, brother. Notice she lived the way she wanted to. She was a very popular woman and she hated to give it up. But not Sarah. She was up there with her husband. She was called out and sealed away by a promise that she was going to have a visitation from God. A son was coming. And so has Sarah, typed the church today, called out of Sodom with a waiting promise of the coming son. Amen. Letting the world do anything they want to. That's none of her business. She is keeping her mind on the promise. Amen. And saints, how that ought to be our promise. Amen. Greater than this shall you do. Ask what you will in my name and it shall be given you. There's many scriptures in this Bible that has not been a true manifestation in our lives like it could be. But why isn't it? It's because we lack the revelation that we need from God to finish this work that He set forth for us. In closing, if you would, turn with me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Saints, I think if we'd be honest with ourselves, each one of us, if we could each one just say, Lord, as our brother was saying, we need to be that sanctuary greater than we've ever been. Just listen here. We'll start here. Let's just start about the 30th verse. Paul had been going down through by the faith. We've read all this, but let's just catch it about the 30th verse. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Japheth and of David, and also of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Good God, having provided something better, and these having not a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided something better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, for ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And oh my, when you look at the cloud of witnesses that are standing around us, and they can't be made perfect without us. And God in his great mind saw you in this day, in this time, at this place where we stand, that he would have a people, that he would have the preeminence of, that they would be conformed to the image of his Son, that they would be a reflection of him. Oh my, how great is our God. And how we should be so privileged and humbled that I find myself where the word will cut me and rebuke me and shave me down and maybe pull my attention back to where I've been off, where I've been wrong, and set my feet back on the path of righteousness, that he could get all the glory and the honor through my life. But oh my, may we press on like we've never pressed before. May it burn in our hearts that we are truly here to be a reflection. It might be this, it might be that over there. Satan's going to try all kinds of things. It'll come in the smallest form of this, the smallest form of that. It's not going to be out loud, here I am, I'm a great big sin. He's going to just anything he can get that'll just keep us just a little bit off of the word. That's all he needs. And we're a people that know a lot of word, and the least thing will condemn our hearts because we know we're wrong. And let's not hold it in, but let's be willing to get it off. If there's one thing in my heart, my life, that I feel something nudging me to make it right, then let's make it right and get it cleaned out. It's not worth holding on to. But let God have his way in our hearts and in our lives. That he would be that we would be to the praise of his glory, as I said here not too long ago. But oh, saints, let's press. Oh, my, to see this work finished. You know, when I look at our journey, 10 years almost, we've been in this building now. And I know we're closer to God than we've ever been. But there's higher heights and higher rungs. And God's going to take someone the whole the way. That if the ever scripture would have ever been finished by faith, Brother Larry lived by the word of God in the year 2016. His name would have been in there. And make the rest of those scriptures that by faith these subdued spirits, they conquered all that God wanted to conquer through them to make it live. Amen. Oh, my saints, may God just pour his blessings out upon us. Amen. And set us on fire like we've never been before. I'm not just talking about an outward emotion of jumping and shouting, but I have something down on the inside that will bubble and burn and push till it can't do nothing but take this body out under control. Amen. And make it live every word that Jesus Christ has spoken. But let us take the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. And lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. Oh, may God richly bless you. I love you and appreciate each one of you. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Hallelujah. Amen. I think we'll try to sing this little song over here on page 272 in the book. If I can. Amen. Some of you know it, maybe sing out. I'm sorry, it's not 272. Just one moment. Hallelujah, he is so real. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. dear Lord. I thank God that He let me, seen me in His mind before there was a moon or a star. 247. Amen. I think I can sing the verses. We'll try. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if You will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of Thee. By eyes of faith I see Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me servant be. Jesus, use me, O Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for You. I'll stand for Thee, dear Jesus, though death may come my way. I'll spread the gospel to the fallen. But if it be Thy will, Lord, to go across the sea, Lord, help me to be willing to say yes. Oh, Jesus, use me, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for You. Amen. Listen to this verse. Lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's all the world to me. But best of all, He is my coming King. Amen. Oh, Jesus, use me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for You. Amen. You know, we've each got a job to do. And sometimes the cost is great. And you know, as our pastor is a pastor, and his job up here is never easy. Sometimes it hurts him and it cuts. And that's one job. And that's a job that God ordained him for. And He prepared him for that. And that still don't make it easy on the flesh. But each one of us set here is laity. And God's got to work for each one of us. Amen. Are we willing, no matter what the cost, to truly deny ourselves and take up our cross? Amen. And take up the portion that God's left for each one of us to do. Amen. And that's to make sure that as this word comes forth, that I'm seeing it manifested in my life. Amen. And it's just as important as if I was given a job in the natural, and I knew if I didn't get that job done, I was going to be fired from my job. I'd take really good consideration to make sure I'd done it right, because I knew I needed that money to support maybe my family. This is great, much, much more than that. Amen. It's a chance at eternal life. Streets of gold. Amen. The half has never been told. And oh my, to think that I would shirk my duty here and miss out on this. But may each one of us find what God's got for us. Each one of us will be different. Maybe some of us got a harder road. Some of us got a lighter load. But nevertheless, whatever God called me or you to do, we must find ourselves in that place and do what He set us here to do. That through it all, He would receive the glory and the honor. And someday it'll be worth it all. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing that little chorus as our brother comes. It's worth it all to be His child.
It's worth it all to be His child. Each last long mile, it's worth it all to feel His power and know He keeps us every hour.
Hallelujah. I'd like to leave a little something with you before we leave, spaced after a message like that. You remember Brother Branham say in this, in the Church Age book, is on page 88, he was talking about a people having a fervent desire to please God. Mm-hmm. A passion to know His Word. A cry to reach out in the Spirit. You remember him saying that?
Amen.
And he talked about how it faded away out of people's lives. I'm going to ask you that when you leave this building this week, ask God to place those three things in your heart. Amen. A fervent desire to please God. And what is fervent? Hot, burning, glowing desire. You can't make that happen in your life. God's got to make it in your life and put it there Himself. So you've got to ask Him to put that in your heart and a reality. And also he says, a passion to know His Word, which is extreme, compelling emotion. Intense emotional drive. Strong love or affection. Strong desire. Ask God to put that in your heart. Now, you can stand there tonight and say, well, I've already got it in my heart. I don't care what you got. Ask God for more of it.
Amen.
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 Cry for reaching out in the Spirit. Cry is to plead for, to beg, to need greatly, and agonize.
Amen.
Ask God to put those three things in your heart in a completeness,
Amen.
Full reality of it. At least ask Him to do it. At least ask Him to bring it to a reality in your heart. Don't expect to walk out of here and come back next service and say, I got it, and I got it on my own. Don't you never think you get it on your own. You'll never do it, friend.
Amen.
Ask God to put that in your
Amen.
Heart. A cry to reach out in the Spirit, a passion to know His Word, a fervent desire to please Him. If we had those three things to this formula, oh my, what the Holy Ghost couldn't do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh my. God could do great things in our life.
Amen.
Oh, He could take over our life and He'd have the preeminence of us. We'd truly be prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we wouldn't do anything without it being His will. His will. Is this His will? Is this His will? What do you want, Lord, in my life today when I rise out of bed? You see? Oh, Lord. Plant that in our hearts.
Amen.
With a complete overflowing of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Lord Jesus, let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, these things burn in our heart. And Father, we ask that You would help us to come to a greater reality of it. Lord Jesus, I think back in the book of Acts when people were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, Your word is recorded what took place. Somebody wrote down what happened at a meeting, Lord, when they began to come together. And Lord, the little one that began to write said, oh my, when they began to pray, the place was shaken with the power of God. Oh, Lord, may somebody today be able to write down after a service, Lord, when they came in and prayed at Capstone Life Tabernacle, the place was shaken with the power of God. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us now. May you help us to find this height in our lives, Lord, to where we'll truly have a passion to know your word. Passion to know it. And we'll have a fervent desire to please you. There'll be a cry to reach out in the spirit. Oh, Lord, help us, Father. Don't let it begin to fade. Let it get hotter and greater, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, knowing the time's about over with now. And Father, now's the time we should really see the fruit coming on the tree. Lord Jesus, and bearing much fruit. Not just a little bit, but Lord, bear much fruit. Oh, God, help us, Lord, in this little building tonight. Let a desire be burning like never before. Grant that as our heart's desire, Lord. Father, I pray that you'll just bless us now. Strengthen us, encourage us, Lord, and let us watch for the enemy, what he's trying to throw at us, try to attract our attention and distract us from you with. Lord Jesus, may by the Holy Ghost we be able to catch it, and Lord, not be distracted in anything in this life from you. Grant that now, Lord. Thank you for the word tonight. Oh, it's so refreshing, Lord, so strengthening and uplifting. Lord, it causes a burning desire that we'd press on and press on, Lord. Oh, grant that, Lord. Bless us now as we part from this little place. May we glorify you in every step of our life. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. I love him. Hallelujah. He is so wonderful. Amen. Don't forget, we just want to announce that we'll have a work crew Tuesday night. So Lord willing, we'll come out, weather permitting, and we'll have a work crew mowing and whatever we need to do. Amen. All righty. May God richly bless you. Amen. And may you stay on fire. And if you ain't on fire, get on fire.
Amen.
You say, well, I got to go to work tomorrow. Who cares? I got to work too. But we got to go in life to reach. Amen. And that's to be everything Jesus Christ wants us to be.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Written epistles. Rid of all men. Amen. Everybody's watching you. Don't forget that. Everybody's watching you. What will be the witness you give forth? Oh, hallelujah. May it be a witness to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. God bless you. You're all dismissed. Amen. Yes. Yes. What is your letter in life right now? What is your letter in life right now? What is the first thing when you rise out of bed in the morning? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to make myself. It just comes when the alarm clock goes off. Sometimes I wake up before the alarm clock. But when the alarm goes off, Lord, what do you want me to do today? I am born on this earth to serve you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Can I do something to glorify you? I don't care where I'm at, what I'm doing. May somehow people see Jesus Christ in me. Amen. Is that your desire?
Amen.
You know, it may not mean to some much to people here, but me and Grace went out and eat the other day. You know, and we went to Dairy Queen. And while we were sitting there eating, here was a family here to our left. Mother, I don't know, looked to be a daughter, and a couple little children, screaming, carrying on, food going on the floor, kid getting on the floor and having a fit. I mean, it was just nothing but a total chaotic scene, you see. They walk out and leave. Here comes in the door. I was sitting and looking toward the door. Here comes this young lady, and here comes a little boy. He's only about that big. Of course, little boys touch my heart anyway. But you know, here come a little boy, and he had these crutches strapped to his arms.
Mm-hmm.
And and braces on his legs and limping his way in. And just immediately just, I couldn't hardly keep from crying. I wanted to do something for that little boy so bad. And as they was up there in line standing, waiting to order their food, she was just taking, of course she had another little boy too, but he seemed to be fine. But she just patting that little boy on the head, you know, and rubbing his head, you know, and talking to him. And they was very well-mannered, and they got their food, and lo and behold, they come in and sit right in front of me there, right in the next little table there. And you could just hear a good, you know, good little wonderful mother that's trying to do the best she can for her children. The children, you could tell, was respectful, and the mother, I guess, I didn't quite hear what the little boy said, but I think he'd asked for something. And the mother said, "Do you have some kind words with that?" And the little boy with the crutches said, "Please." You know? And that just touched me so much. I thought, here it went from that to this. So I said, "Lord, what can I do? What can I do to just make their day a little better?" I reached in my pocket and I got a $20 bill. I got up, me and Grace got up. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I see you're a very good little mother to these children. You're doing very good. And I'd like to do something for you." I said, "Here, I'll pay for your meals." So I just put the $20 on the table. And here she was. She just, you know, just getting teary-eyed. She was just, "Oh, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that." I said, "Oh," I said, "I have to do that for you." But I just loved seeing something that was genuine.
Amen.
A mommy that really loved her children. And you could tell she was trying her best to raise her children right. And yet here she had a little child in braces and couldn't hardly walk, just barely dragging himself along with all these mechanical things on him. And cute little fella, little thick glasses on. But oh, Lord, if you'd tell me in a minute, I'd lay hands on that boy and watch him walk away. Amen. And one of these days it may happen.
Amen.
You never know. And I just disappear. I don't want no glory. Don't want nobody see me. Just walk off and see him. I may never see the child again. But they'll know Jesus Christ lives.
Amen.
Oh my. It's not beyond what God can do.
No.
When love projects, grace takes over.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh my. Lord, let me be what you want me to be.
Amen.
Amen. But we sure can't be that. All cobbed up in the world. No. It'll never happen. Don't never expect it to happen. But when you're walking in the Spirit, walking by faith, living by the Word of God, God can do anything.
Amen.
Amen. May God do something through your life. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. Praise God.